And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
There's a man going round taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around. The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each suck. Will you partake of that last offered cup or disappear into the potter's ground when the man comes around? Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers. 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle of rum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Till Armageddon, no shalom, no shalom. Then the father hen will call his chickens home. The wise men will bow down before the throne. And at his feet they'll cast their golden crowns. When the man comes around, whoever is unjust, let him be unjust still. Whoever is righteous, let him be righteous still. Whoever is filthy, let him be filthy still. Listen to the words long written down. When the man comes around, hear the trumpets, hear the pipers. 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. In measured 100 weight and penny pound.
And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him.
Greetings, everybody. Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight around the world. WWCR on the transmitting Jewel of the South right here out of Nashville, Tennessee. We're live and direct around the world with the Shepherd's Call. And Pastor Buddy, glad to have you in here. Part 3 of our series, eye-opening, I believe, controversial, to say the least. Yes, part three of the birthright scepter and the gift and someone that stole it. And we're in the Bible. We're tracing, if you will, tonight. We're going to concentrate on the lineage of the Messiah. We're going into the Bible, and let me read you just to sort of set the agenda or the tone of tonight's message. Let me go into the book of Isaiah. And I'm going to start in Isaiah chapter 9, and I'm going to read verse 7 of the increase of his government. And peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with judgment henceforth even forever. Now, let's go back and notice what this verse is telling us here, that he's going to establish the throne of the government from the throne of David. Now, let's dig a little bit deeper tonight in revelation to the throne of David or to the house of David. That's what we want to concern with, the house of David. Now, let me hold my point here as I'm coming back to Psalms 132, verse 11. And I'm going to read this in just a moment. But let's go to Matthew. If you're following me in the scriptures, get to Matthew. In the first chapter, and I want to read a few verses there. And then we're coming back to Psalms 132:11. And we're going to see if we get on the trail of the genealogy of the Messiah and what someone has evidently done out of the character or out of sequence of the seeds that we're picking from. Now, I'd like to remind you that we would go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 49, and have that in thought as we're going to start about the 22nd verse, and we're going to read the 24th. The Bible right here tells us that the birthright son, now keep your mind on birthright. It has nothing to do with Judah in any way, form, or fashion. Judah did not have the birthright promise. Although we are being told, wrongly of course, by the lying scribes, and they lie, of course, and we have to take them with the evidence that something is wrong or rotten in the Bible. Somehow, the scribes have done a masterful job of confusing the genealogy. Well, let me read verse 1 of Matthew chapter 1. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David. Now, keep that in mind. Jesus Christ, the one we call in the New Testament Jesus, the one we better know as Yahweh the Savior, and his relationship to the Father, it says he's the son of David, and David was the 14th generation descended from Abraham. So from from Abraham to David, we have 14 generations, and Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah and his brethren. Now, that's a strange twist on the genealogy. Right away, we see something wrong. And Jacob begot Judah. What's that got to do with the price of corn? You see, ladies and gentlemen, right here, right away, the scribes insert Judah into the genealogy when in truth, if they are following the birthright genealogy, Christ is to come. That's why everybody believes that Jesus is a descended son of Judah, or he's from the tribe of Judah, and he's not. Right away, we see something wrong here. We don't trust the Bible because the Bible has been altered in such a way to make us believe in the genealogy. And the Bible said that the truth is not to be reckoned from the genealogy, because I believe that the writers, now, when the scribes changed, they had a tremendous task of copying and changing scriptures that would benefit them to make them seem like that they were progenitors of the flesh of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, here as we're going to read in Psalms 132. Let me show you how the wording of the scripture goes here. Yahweh hath sworn in truth. Now, not lies, not confusion, but truth to David. He will not turn from it, of the fruit of his body, David's body, will I sit upon thy throne, of the fruit of your body. Now, that tells us here in genealogy that Yahweh made a promise to David of the fruit or of the descending lineage. He would come through this fruit or the offspring, if you will, or the genealogy. I'll come through your genealogy, David. And a later time, I will show up and I will sit upon your throne forever. I will make it a permanent sit. I will never give up this throne. I will sit there until I make thine enemies, remember David was a warrior, a constant shedding blood warrior. It looks like it's coming to that. Again, for righteousness' sake, that more blood will be shed to reveal the truth. Now, there's more deception by those scriptures that make you think you've got the truth. Did you know that, again, the Bible, I've said this many times throughout these first 3 hours of the message that I'm into, that there's a way that seemeth right, and that Yahweh himself will send people a strong delusion to believe a lie and be damned. Now, isn't that... Oh, man. When I said, or started to say, that's prophetic, well, it is. It's so prophetic and profound that he would use these very scribes here to change the scriptures in certain instances, or to juggle the genealogy, I've done proved it, the genealogy has been juggled and played with. And the wise will see this and understand, and they will study to show themselves approved, not being ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And he says, I've sworn to David in truth. I ain't going to turn from it. Of the fruit of David's seed line, or of the fruit of David's body. So all we've got to do is go back in the Bible and find what genealogy David came from. Here's more confusion. Everybody and their grandmother, I'm telling you, in church, or churchanity, or what we call the bell, or say bell bottom, the bell church, that's a church that seems right, they really have taken tradition by the horns and will not release it. But here, the Bible said, I've sworn to David in truth. Well, all we've got to do is to find out what genealogy David sprang from. Well, let's see. We're on the trail now of the kinsman. Remember this. The kinsman redeemer. He's promised that he would be of the lineage of King David. Everybody believes that King David was a Jew. But there's no scripture to prove he was. He was king over Judah and Judah's house, but he was also king over Israel and Israel's house. And here we find that the birthright redeemer would be a Galilean. Now, isn't that something? That he would be like, it says here in the 9th chapter of the book of Isaiah, that he would be beyond Jordan in Galilee. He would come from there. Well, the promise of Micah 5 and 2, we find that the Redeemer would come from not Bethlehem, Judea, as somebody has made us believe here, wrongly. Oh, my. What a job I've got to try to reverse almost 2,000 years of tradition and seem right. It is a hard task for anyone to persuade people that they got to go back to the scriptures and study to show themselves approved. Salmon, verse 5, begot Boaz. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth, and Obed begot Jesse. Now, right here is a very, very good place to start looking into the word search. I'm going to show you. I'm going to surprise you. It's going to be frightening for you. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God to get the truth from the scriptures. It's been altered and changed and set aside through years and years and years and years of tradition until people are so confused, especially about the holy blood, holy birthright. I'm looking at holy blood here. The Father tells us that Jesse, here it is again, in verse 5 and 6, look at verse 6. And Jesse begot David the king. Now, let's just stay right there, because we'll deal with Obed and the bloodline and Ruth and Boaz will go back there and deal with the same root words as we do a word search in the Strong's Concordance. I'm looking at the Strong's right now. Let's look at 17:12 again, 1 Samuel. Now, David was the son of that Ephrathite Jesse. Now, if you will, underline Ephrathite. Let me spell it for you so that you can do a thorough word search in your Strong's. Ephrathite. Not a Judite. An Ephrathite. Not a Judite. An Ephrathite. Jesse was a son, or David, was the son of that Ephrathite Jesse. If David was a son of Jesse the Ephrathite, what bloodline do you believe that David was that Christ said, I'll swear I'll come through your flesh? And yet, the genealogies is reckoned in such a way that we're led away by this insert here in the Bible of the genealogy of verse 2. Abraham begot Isaac. That's well and good. Isaac begot Jacob. That's well and good. And Jacob begot Judah. Why don't it say, and Jacob begot Joseph, the perfect type and the birthright inheritor? Because, ladies and gentlemen, whether you realize it or not, Christ was to come through the bloodline, not of Judah, as we've been made to believe. That's why the world believes that the Jews are God's chosen people, and they're not. And what a job we've got to persuade people, to study, to prove all things. They just take the tradition of what they've been taught. I learned a long time ago, Yahweh put a spiritual nose, if you will, a bloodhound type nose on Pastor Buddy. And Pastor Buddy has been digging in the Bible relentlessly for 55 years. When I found out that the word Ephrathite, when I looked at the prophecy in the book of Ruth and the book of 1 Samuel, where I'm dissecting the word Ephrathite, here, it's not a Judite. I said, that's strange. Let me look that word up. I looked that word up, and it's the Hebrew word in the Strong's keyed to 0673. And it's spelled Y-T-R-P-A. Y-T-R-P-A. And then it begins to break this word down. And it's a partial form of 0672. It's a word that tells us that it means one, fruitfulness. Well, does that describe Judah? Now, the second, it always hits so plain. Oh, Heavenly Father, help and open up an eye to see this tonight. If you're following me in the Strong's, and I hope you are, look up the word 673, Ephrathite, Jesse the Ephrathite. Let me go slow and just rub it into your understanding. If you look at the second descriptive meaning, the first meaning would be fruitfulness. Well, that's what the Bible calls Joseph in Genesis 49, 22, 23, and 24. Joseph is a fruitful bough. His branches run over the wall. Well, that's bloodline. In other words, from Joseph would come the seed of the birthright promise. Whew. Oh my. An inhabited or descendant of Ephraim. Descriptive number two. First one is fruitfulness. Don't forget that. The second one, an inhabited or descendant of Ephraim. Do you get that? Can you see that? If you're following me in the Strong's, then I beg you to go to the Strong's. Follow Pastor Buddy here in the word search, 0673 in the Hebrew, 673. It says he's an Ephraimite. That gives the word Ephraimite. Well, it tells you that Jesse was an Ephraimite, not a Judite. How do we get the genealogy placed in Matthew chapter 1 of all places to describe Christ's descendants or where the birthright son would descend from? It has nothing to do with Judah. Nothing. The third reckoning is an inhabitant of Bethlehem. Now, I told you that the archaeologist, chief archaeologist in Israel right today is still living that made this statement. At the time of the birth of Christ, or at the time of the birth of Jesse, if you will, from Obed and Boaz, there was no such place known as Bethlehem, Judea, rather Bethlehem, Ephratah, which was in the region of Bethel, an inhabitant of Bethlehem. Two Bethlehems in the Bible, and I bet you didn't know that. You've been told Bethlehem, Judea, because the scribes, not the Messiah, not the prophet, used that word Judea, and here they're using it again in Matthew chapter 1, and I believe because it sets the tone, or if you will, it puts your mind in a vein, and ain't that what the scripture says? In vain they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men, rather than rightly dividing the word of truth. An inhabitant of Bethlehem, Ephratah, according to Micah 5 and 2, not Bethlehem, Judea. An inhabitant or descendant of Ephraim. Does that sound like that David's father was from Judah? And why are we told in the genealogy that, yes, that's true? Why are we told in the sixth verse that David the king begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah? Solomon begot Rehoboam. Now, go back to where I read the other night in part two, refresh your memory, in 1 Kings chapter 11, the evil of Solomon. He went out and partied and married strange women, had sex with them, had children by them, and we're told that Christ came through that polluted bloodline, or are we? Well, we're told in Matthew here that he did, but we're told in Luke that he didn't. Solomon is not mentioned in Luke. He says it comes from Solomon's brother, Nathan. Man, we got problems here. All of this is because of the genealogy and the tradition that we've been made to think in a certain way. The devil has put our mind in a certain mode and a mold, and all of us Christians raised up to believe the lie. And I told you, one of the greatest lies in the Bible is that the Messiah's name would be Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a misnomer of the highest offense to the Creator who came out of heaven with the highest name in heaven and the highest name on earth. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, if you want to bring all these things up and preach on all these things, if you just get in the groove and preach the traditional bell box doctrine that Jesus was a Jew, everything would be all right, but you want to muddy the pond. You want to fish in troubled water. You want to make me madder than hell. You want to put me in the Bible and scratch my head. You want my brain to kick in. Yeah, that's what I'd like for it to happen. And maybe you would understand that the Messiah was to come from the throne of David's flesh. And here we have, of his increase, and peace there shall be no end, and upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it, and I will establish it with judgment, and with justice from henceforth and forever. Isaiah 9 and 7. Psalms 132:11, and Yahweh says, I have sworn unto David in truth. This is the truth, ladies. Don't believe this. He'll not turn from it. Of the fruit of his body will I sit upon the throne, Psalms 132:11, and mercy shall the throne be established, and he shall sit upon it in truth in the tabernacle of David. In other words, in a flesh body, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Preaching the reality of truth that Yahweh became a flesh being, descended from, if you will, the flesh of David's progeny, who was the birthright promised son, according to Genesis 49:22-24. But we have Judah, the fourth son, not the 11th. We have the genealogy that he was going to come from Judah and be a Jew. And there's not one scripture, one verse anywhere. How do we get it? Tradition. We've been moved over to think that by the genealogy and the incorrection, not the correction, in truth, it's a lie. It's not the truth that he swore to David. He did come from the flesh of David. David was not a Jew. David's father was not a Jew. David's relationship was not a Jew. Jesse was not a Jew. His father, Obed and Boaz, was not Jews. Because we find, as we go back, or we're going into, let's don't go back, let's go right on into the 1 Samuel 17:12 again. And then we're going to Isaiah 11 and 1. Let's go to 11 and 1 and see just a moment as we trace just a little bit more and prove that there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. Now we're talking about genealogy relating to Matthew. There shall come a branch shall grow out of his root. That meant, in other words, we'll trace all the way back to Jacob and his sons, and which one of those sons had the birthright? Was it Judah? The answer is unequivocally no. Is it the firstborn? Well, we've got to go back and look at the firstborn, and we find Reuben, who was denied the birthright. He deserved it. He was in line for it because he was the stem of Jesse's strength. But the branch that grew out of the root of Jesse was again the father of David, who was an Ephraimite, not a Judite, as we've proven by the word search. Somebody didn't do their homework. The writers and the translators have not done their homework. They've set our minds to believe that he would come out of the house of Judah and be a Jew, and the Jews have won the sympathy of the world, and the world has supported them in that belief and for that reason. But that's a lie. Isaiah 22:22. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon the shoulder of the Messiah that comes from his flesh, and he will open and no one shall shut. He will shut and none shall open. You better get this. You got to get it in truth. You can't believe a lie. You say, well, it's just easier, Pastor Buddy, for me to go ahead and believe in that Christ was born in Bethlehem, Judea. You complicate it and you want to argue all the time. That's what you're about, and you're a troublemaker because every time that I repeat something you say, it makes some of my friends mad, and I lose my friends. Is that what you're in here for? To make friends? You're not really in the truth to make enemies? You're not to be hated for his name's sake? You want to be loved by everybody? You want to fit in? You can't fit in because you don't have the key. If you don't have the key of truth, you can't open, and you certainly can't shut something that you can't open. If you've got the key, although it don't fit the traditional lock on the door that's been placed there, you know what Christ said, I am the door, by me. What he's saying is, by the genealogy, if you don't come through the proper genealogy with the understanding, you'll never know who I am. That's why he said, who do the scribes say that I am? And some say, well, you're the son of David. Well, now he confused it again. For David himself said by the Holy Ghost, Yahweh said to Yahweh, sit upon my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore himself calls him Lord, and whence then is his son? And the common people heard him gladly. And he said unto them in his doctrine, beware of the scribes. For they shall receive a greater damnation. Do you want to go with the scribes? what the scribes do? Well, they were in charge of copying and recopying the scrolls or the Bible that we've got today. But do you trust them that they haven't changed any of the original text that it was written? Oh, would you just love to have one that was found? You get to see it and it's not been changed or altered in any way. Search the scriptures. Or in you think you have eternal life. And Joseph took the child and went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth. Listen to this now. Watch it, scribes. Now, he's up in the city of Nazareth. Now, where's the city of Nazareth at? Within Galilee, northern Galilee, correct? Well, if he goes down to Judah, or Judea, which is what this scripture says here in Luke chapter 2, verse 4, it's only 7 miles from Nazareth to the city of Bethlehem Ephratah. That's not a far stretch of your imagination that she would ride a donkey that far and bounce around the rocky trails. And it tells us in Luke 4, because, now, the reason he's going up there is to be taxed. He's not going up there to have a baby. He got that on his mind. The baby comes quicker than it was supposed to. They were surprised that he's just going up there that he can pay his taxes because he's out of the house of David. Remember that David's father, Jesse, was an Ephraimite. For unto you this day is born in the city of David. Was David and his lineage, or the key of David, was it out of the house of Judah, or was it out of the house of Ephraim, the birthright chosen son that David was going to be from? If so be, he was going to bring the key or the Savior in a genealogy. Boy, what a... You know, if the devil can get you thinking wrong, he's got you. And if he's got you, it's a lack of your understanding, and you're destroyed for the lack of knowledge. For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Huh. That took me back to Genesis 35:19. Now, Rachel was the one that produced Joseph and Benjamin. And Rachel died, giving birth to Benjamin in a place called Bethlehem. But the problem is, it's Bethlehem Ephratah, not Bethlehem Judea, which is another many mile on down to the south at that time. Genesis 35:20. And Jacob set a pillar. Here we are. We're hunting for these little keys, these little master keys. That's going to open the lock each time to our understanding as we search the scriptures. For wherein we think we have eternal life. And Jacob set a pillar unto her grave. That is the pillar of Rachel's mark. And the pillar is there unto this day. Rachel's grave is not in Bethlehem, Judea, but it's in Bethlehem, Ephratah, just like the prophet Micah said it would be, that the son would be born beyond Galilee. Says that in Isaiah 9 and 1, just where I gave, and then it gave of the seed or of the flesh of David or of the genealogy of David. What he said, I'm coming out of the genealogy of David, and David's father, Jesse, was an Ephraimite, a fruitful one, or a descendant of Ephraim, Joseph, who had the birthright. And we turn to the book, I've got to close. We turn to the book of John, again, chapter 7, verse 40. Now, verse 1 says he wouldn't walk in Judah because the Jews sought to kill him. If he had really been one of them, why was they so mad at him? Verse 40 again. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying. Now, you've got to understand what the saying goes. You've got to study to find out. Of a truth, this is the prophet. But others said, this can't be the Christ. Some said, this is the Christ. But then they said, some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Whoa, you know, we've been hearing all of our life, he's coming out of Bethlehem, Judea, he's going to be a Jew. Here's the reason. Hath not the scripture said that Christ, the anointed one, the word Christ simply means the anointed Messiah, the cometh of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was. Where was that? Where's the key at here? We're looking for a key. And so there was a division among the people because of them. And then answered the Pharisees and the scribes, are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Nicodemus said unto them, he that came to the Messiah by night, being one of them, doth not our law judge any man before he hear him and know what he doeth? And they answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Not of Judah. Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. Oh, wait a minute here. They had convinced the people that there wasn't nothing in the scriptures relating to Christ coming out of Bethlehem, Ephrathah, but he was going to come out of Judah, and he would be a Jew, not a Galilean. Folks, I didn't start this debate. It started 2,000 years ago. Here I am carrying it on, and the only one that I know of that hammers on it a little bit every once in a while and screams my lungs out to give you the key of understanding. After this, I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. Now that tabernacle is his flesh genealogy, and somebody restored it to its proper place because somebody had tore it down by telling us that the Messiah would come out of the house of Judah when he actually came out of the house of Ephraim, Joseph. Oh my. Can I make it any plainer? Ladies and gentlemen, I've revealed to you that there was a controversy. Here we go again. Again, the deception is so deep and involved. Revelation 5 and 5. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold the Lamb of the tribe of Judah. Well, now, when we read that, I mean, the Bible don't lie. We just got to believe that the Messiah's from the tribe of Judah. But if you just take it at face value and don't do your homework, you'll fall victim to the Bible. And you'll receive a strong delusion. Because of a lion of the root of David, in other words, a genealogy, and I've done proof to you that David had to be an Ephraimite, not a Judite. What more evidence do you need? Just put the proper words in there. He's prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Notice what he said. I've sent my angel. I want to testify these things to you. Now, the angel don't lie. I am the root. Now, listen to this now. I am the root and the offspring of David. There is a full-fledged admission that he came from the flesh of David, just like the scripture says. And the key of understanding is what was David. What was David's descending root? I am the root and the offspring of David. I am the root and the offspring. And the name of that man was Amalek, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the same man, Amalek, was a progenitor in the bloodline, downline, of Christ and David. And Amalek was an Ephraimite, and his two sons were Ephraimites out of the town of Bethlehem Ephratah, but the scribes, they've done another little work here. Boaz would have been an Ephraimite because he redeemed, and there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. And I get on the radio and preach and offer rewards for anybody to prove me wrong. Both Obed, Jesse, David, were all Ephraimites. They weren't Judites. Didn't give you the Strong's word. You can believe that. David descended from the Ephraimite clan in Bethlehem Ephratah. That was a city here in, again, I'm going to show you that Christ went back to his old home place where his family name had inherited this place. And we're going to the 11th chapter of the book of St. John, and we're going to see exactly what the scriptures are going to show us. From that day on, they plotted to kill or put to death the Messiah. Now, who did? The same scribes and Pharisees that hated him. Therefore, Jesus no longer walked openly among the Jews, but he went from there into the country near the wilderness. This is the 54th verse of the Gospel of John. I believe he goes there and stays there 30 days to wait for the second Passover. Now, that's another message in itself. He went into the wilderness to a city called Ephraim. Why would he go there? Why would he go there is my question. you figure it out. And you get the key. And he said unto them in his doctrine, beware of the scribes. Beware of the scribes. 12:38, beware of the scribes. For they devour widows' houses, and for pretense make long prayers. They shall receive the greater damnation. They love saluting or salutations in the marketplaces. They like to be noted. They want to be seen. They want the biggest church on the corner, and they've got them. They're still around, ladies and gentlemen. They've not gone nowhere. But truth prophets, tonight you've heard the truth, whether you ever accept it or not, will be between you and the Father. I'm free of your blood. It's not on my hands. I have preached the truth. If you can receive it, and if you have a nose like a bloodhound, a spiritual bloodhound, you'll see that this truth is forever settled. Nothing can be added to it, and certainly nothing taken away. You listen to Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. Call me tonight. Area code 423-351-1082. If you'd like to write me, if you'd like to have this series in its entirety, I don't know how many more I'll do, whether I'll do any more or not, but anyway, we'll just do what the Spirit tells us to do. You can write me, Pastor Buddy, that's all you'll need, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 568, in Sweetwater, one word, Sweetwater, Tennessee, 37874. You can go to our website. I've got several articles up here on the website, and you can have them free of charge. You can download them if you have a computer. If you like the hard copies, the disc that I've done on the series here, just write Pastor Buddy at Post Office Box 568 in Sweetwater, Tennessee, 37874. I'll give them to you anywhere that you're listening to me around the world. Go to our website, oneyahweh.com. That's oneyahweh.com. Before our website, we have several articles that Bob has got posted there. And we have, I don't know, 6 or 7, maybe I think as much as 10 years, Brother Bob has worked tirelessly for the last 4 or 5 years, maybe longer than that. On our present website, we've got a large website. We have up to close to 100,000 hits, and we haven't been up that long as we've replaced our old website with a new one. And since then, we've had almost 100 hits on our website, oneyahweh.com. Bob keeps it up to date. The messages that I do live on the radio, they are transcribed and taken directly from WWCR, Listen Live, and they're posted on oneyahweh.com. So you can have these messages if you have a computer. You're just one click away with your mouse at getting these 3 messages that I've done, and you might do well to do so. We just skimmed the top of it. Going back to the last 10 years, I have preached this more ways than one. A little bit here and a little bit there. You always seem to see fit to do it, and you have to do the same thing, here a little and there a little, line upon line and precept upon precept, that you can be thoroughly furnished with all the evidence that the Spirit has put into these messages, that you might see and believe, and knowing the truth, that the truth can make you free. And we hope and trust that you are a sincere deep studier, and we want advanced studiers. You can't be on milk and receive much of Pastor Buddy's messages, because we try to preach mostly meat. This is to those that have their senses discerning that they need meat. And I hope and trust that your hunger and your thirst will never cease for the key of the knowledge of the genealogy of Yahweh. I'll see you around the world next Wednesday night on WWCR on the transmitting Jewel of the South, 5890. Again next Thursday night, and then again next Saturday night on 5890. All three messages and all 3 hours will now be in on 5890. Make it simple for you. Yahweh bless you. And we will see you come Wednesday night, 8 o'clock. Yahweh bless you. Yahweh keep you.